Right. Father, thank you for your loving kindness and your goodness to us. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Has already been sung about today and spoken about, came to earth to redeem sinners. And Father, we are all sinners in need of a Saviour. So we thank you for your perfect Son who came, born of a virgin, and redeemed us. For those of us who believe, we thank you for that hope that we have, eternity. For those who are curious, Father, we pray that this few days, as they join with us, they might understand that Jesus Christ, the loving Saviour of all humanity, came to die for their sins also. So we give you thanks this morning for that loving kindness and your generous gift of your Son. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, and I just want to read to you the first 12 verses and focus on a few points, about five observations. There may be more, but just five today that I want to briefly share with you about the significance of what Christ has come to do. So from verse 1 of chapter 2 of Matthew, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests and the scribes of the people, inquired of them, 'Where is Christ to be born?' They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet.'" We know that's from Micah, and it says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring the word, that I may too come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going to the house where they saw the child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Excuse me. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Thank you to the Lord for his word about Christ. What we'll see is that Jesus, as Messiah, the King of the Jews, out of this story, he is the one to be honoured above all humanity. We'll see Jesus worshipped not by Jews, but by all humanity. God makes his Son known and is worshipped. Jesus is troubled for those who will not worship him, and those who do will face opposition. Worshipping Jesus means submission to his authority. Some of those are not directly there, but we know they're implied from other readings. We see that Jesus, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, all are to honour him. I'm often fascinated this story of the Magi. Well, sometimes it said three. We sung the song three. You know I'm bent out of shape with the three because of the three gifts. But I do know that Magi came from the Mesopotamia area, land between two rivers, over near Babylonia, Babylon. A long journey, a dusty journey. A journey of probably a caravan with lots of people. To be born King of the Jews, is that a big deal? Well, the reality is that being born a king of the Jews is not a new thing. There had been lots of kings, from King Saul, King David, right down through history. There had been lots of kings, but this king is different. In New Zealand, since 1856, we have seen some 40 prime ministers with the equivalent title, not all called prime ministers. So even in New Zealand, being prime minister is not an uncommon thing. It's a title, it's an honour, it's a privilege to serve as the head of our government. But these leaders, our earthly leaders, are often derided, and we see that Jesus is no different as his life unfolded. But what verse 4 implies, it makes clear, however, that the wise men really mean the King of the Jews. The King of the Jews. And for Herod, this was an incomprehensible truth that he had to overcome. Because for some 40 years, he had been considered, he had been placed by the government as the king of the nation, of the Jewish people. But you see, this king was Messiah. This king is a ruler of not only the people of Israel, but all people. He is the one to be honored. He is the one that will bring the end to the history and create a new history in eternal heavens. His kingdom will never die. He won't be a Herod or lose his reign. He won't be a Saul who lose his reign. He won't be a David to lose his reign. This king would come and rule forever. That is our Messiah. That is King Jesus. That is the one who we honour. We don't know where these wise men got their information from to follow a star. We don't understand that. We don't really know. Maybe in the annals of their text from some prophecies in that area, extra biblical material, a scepter shall rise. And God placed a supernatural light into the sky. And they followed that in a long haul. And they came to Jerusalem. And they went to the seat of government in their caravan. Where is he that had born the King of the Jews? And then the star appears and takes them to where the child was, to the house, not the stable, to the house where they were gathered. There's been a lot of conjecture of what that looked like, that star, whether the planets were aligned, all that sort of jazz. I don't know, but I know that God in his sovereignty made it happen. He made something that was outside of human control possible, so that they would be able to follow. An amazing GPS. They just follow. The light into the world. They followed a light to center over top of where the child was. And they came to Bethlehem. It's a beautiful picture of people who have come to seek knowledge of who Jesus is. They've come to seek the knowledge of what God has to offer through his son. They've come to worship him. And we get a glimpse that this Jesus will attract all nations. And here we get this picture of Matthew where the nations are coming to him through these kingdoms from the Babylonian area. At the end of it we said, go therefore into the world and make disciples of all nations. And we see this bookend where Jesus has come to redeem humanity. Do you know that Jesus is God? Have you put your trust in Jesus, our Saviour? Because you are part of the nations. All nations will come into his submission. Oh, some reject him now, but they will come into submission. The Bible clearly says that. And his realm will not be limited to Israel. His realm is the entire earth. All humanity, past, present and future, will come and submit themselves in one form or another. I pray that everyone here today has said yes to Jesus, have submitted their lives to him, and said, I will follow you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to turn from my sin. I want to repent. Father, please help me repent. Allow your Spirit to minister to me. And turn so that you might come to know this Christmas of who the Saviour of the world really is. I love the response of the wise men. They came and fell down. And they bought gifts. It's often been said that it is better to give than receive. And I like receiving gifts, especially tramping gear. No hints. Shops close at 11. and I like to give tramping gear so I can borrow it. I'm selfish. But I want to say to you, if you have not received Christ today, the greatest gift is not to be given, it has been given. It is to receive that gift of eternal hope that Jesus Christ offers you through the redemption and the forgiveness of your sin. The question is, will you jump over the line? And for some, the line is very broad and very high as a fence. But your life will be turned upside down in a way that is so beautiful and so miraculous, and you'll face opposition. We see here that Herod wanted to oppress and oppose Jesus. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. So will you worship him and honor him and adore him? Jesus is a universal Messiah. And he loves you. Do you know that Jesus loves you? I mean, really loves you. I get horrified at Easter. Hang on, Daryl, we're talking about a cute little baby in a box. We've got a representation in the foyer of a little baby, a little doll. It's cute. And that's where people leave this sometimes. They're horrified by the understanding that my Lord and my God, who stretched himself out on a tree for all his humanity, a universal Saviour, would dare do such a thing. I'm glad that he did. Are you glad that he did?
Ooh. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everyone's falling asleep. You see, because God has made his Son known, and he's made his Son to be worshipped. I love the picture that we get of these people, not necessarily three, but these wise men who come from the east, who come to Jerusalem, who say, "Where is he to be born the King of the Jews?" Who follow a star out of obedience, out of their need, and they land where Jesus is. And then I read commentaries and books about what the star meant, what this supernova may have meant, what this means, what that means. And we sometimes major on the minors. It was a compass. It was a compass to draw people from another land to a Saviour. Does this book drive your compass to come and meet the Saviour of the world? Does this scriptures guide you to the place where Jesus was born? To the place where Jesus lived? To the place where Jesus perished on a cross? Because if it does, it'll guide you to a place where he now lives, at the right hand of the Father on high. As these wise men came and worshipped him in adoration, God makes his Son known to you today, that you might worship him. You see, it's not the primary purpose about the star. The star is a GPS. And the scripts is a GPS on such central themes of the holiness of God, the ugliness of our sin, the helpless state of mankind, that Jesus should die a death on a cross, that we might be justified by faith alone, and the sanctifying work of his Spirit that works in us to bring us into his glory and into his understanding of what it means to live a path. And that brings us also into the glory of Christ's return and the final judgment. That's our GPS. The star was used by the wise men, and we have a star here today. Oh, we're not out of our depth by understanding that. The simplicity of God on a cross, Jesus Christ suffering, being born to a virgin. People mock us, concerned by us, because we believe such, in their interpretation, fanciful things. But I can only say to you, if you contradict the story this morning, you are here as a person who doesn't quite grapple with that. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. That's what the Bible says. And in her was conceived the perfect Son of God, who was eternal past, eternal present, and eternal future. That's what the Bible conveys to us. And to us, that's what it says, and we believe. And yet, we still grapple why Jesus did that for me. He came to redeem you. He came to put aside your sin. He came to put aside all the things against his standards. And yet we live in the knowledge that we need a Saviour today, tomorrow, and into the future. We have come to worship him. That is God's design for us, to worship him, to honour him, to adore him. He's after the nations. He's after you. Have you drifted away from worshipping his Son? You see, Matthew's gospel in this first part, and then comparatively bookended at the end, he said, "Come and see which I have created, my Son. Come and see who has died on the cross." And at the end of the book, he says, "Go tell what I have done." Are you telling what he has done? And Jesus is trouble for those who will not worship him. Herod wanted to kill him. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to be worshipped. Those that don't want to worship Jesus are in a bad place. They're in a place where only wreckage and harm can come. They're threatened by him. They're concerned the fact that you have to submit yourself to him. It's something that Jesus understood, submission. He submitted to the Father's will. And yet we struggle in our own way and in human life to submit to anything. Jesus is a perfect example of submission to the Father. The Spirit's submission. Perfectly loving, perfectly holy. But so often we submit to ourselves. We want what we want. I was in the mall the other day and took great joy in watching a young child beg for a gift. I don't know if the mother was a Christian or not, but what an answer. "Stop complaining, it's not your birthday, it's Jesus." Oh, I wish I had used that early on. You see, that puts perspective. I don't know if she's a Christian, but what an answer. It is not your birthday, it is Jesus. And I'm not against, as I said, giving gifts. Tramping gear. I love the fact that families get together. I also acknowledge the fact that opposition comes in Christian families. I acknowledge when the day we want to stand firm and proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ and give thanks for our meal, sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes we're pushed aside. But I know we've come to portray Christ as faithful, God is faithful, the Spirit is the one who works in us and sanctifies us. Opposition will come. Hostility will come. Indifference comes. I want to say to you today, if you are in hostility with Jesus, let it go. Come to him who is altogether lovely. How can a man hate you so much that he would die on a cross? When you can work that one out, then you might come to understand. Worshipping continually means that submission to his authority. We see the Magi ascribing to his authority by calling him the King of the Jews. Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? We see the Magi ascribing dignity to him, authority to him, adoration to him by falling down before him in verse 11. They fell to the ground and worshipped him. Falling to the ground is what you say to someone else, they are higher than you and I am low. You have dignity. I am lowly in comparison. But this Jesus reaches down to a lady caught in the act of adultery and says, brings her up and lifts her. And where are your accusers? Go and sin no more. That is the Jesus that we worship, who redeems people, who we adore. Ascribing authority. When they saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. How joyful are you today? Are you lifted by Jesus' majesty? When we sing the songs, does your emotion soar to him? Do we rejoice tomorrow with great joy? Picking up the Bible with our children and talking about the relevance of this very day. One of the greatest days of human history. But oh, the greatest day is coming when Jesus will come back. Is that part of the equation that you have in your Christmas morning? In your Christmas Eve? In your Christmas night? Or is it adding up the credit card bill? The joyful nature of celebrating this Christmas means that we submit ourselves to Christ and his infinite loveliness and joyfulness. His infinite wisdom, his infinite implications of his sacrifice. And we come with ascribing our sacrificial gifts, which means we joyfully give. We joyfully give. You see, because you are receiving the treasure. Jesus received treasure. And I don't want to go into those things, what they stand for, but you see, we have received the greatest treasure that you will ever receive. How lovely is this Jesus? How precious is he? Is there a jewel in your crown? Is he the one you look to for all things? Does your heart adore him and direct towards the Son of God? Are you devoted? Are you saying, you are my Messiah, you are my Lord, you are my King? And do those words marry your actions? You see, God wields in the world his plans. He made Mary become pregnant. He made wise men come from the east to adore and worship him. He held Herod back. He sent Joseph off with his baby and his mother, his wife, off into Egypt until Herod died. He willed to his good purposes so that we might find a Savior being born in human flesh, perfect, lovely. And whatever opposition we find, he already knows. Whatever health issues you have, he already knows. You see, God is about redeeming our bodies. And one of the things that I appreciate about Jeanette's courage in the face of her illness is that she understands that while her body may fail, her body at the same time in some unique way is being redeemed. Because her total redemption will happen when? When she sees Jesus face to face. So you know you can stand firm in whatever you fail to understand. That is the important issue. That is why she has courage in her convictions, because this Christmas may be her last. But she knows where she's going. Do you know where you're going? It's not a cutesy story. Not something we go away feeling really good about. But we do feel good in the knowledge that Jesus has paid the price and we are redeemed and he loves us. And that is our encouragement. That is what we hope for. That is what we long for. That's what we live for. That's what we serve for. That is what drives us. The Magi were looking for it and they found it. What are you looking for? Can you sing that song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For"? Well, Jesus is here and he's waiting. If you've come today and you've, music team can come back up. If you've come today and you've drifted off a path that's in a place where you didn't intend to be in your Christian walk. Quite often, people feel depressed and maybe oppressed by these words that were spoken today, feeling you're not good enough. Can I honestly say that you'll never be good enough anyway? You're only good enough because of what Jesus has done. But if you would like to talk about that and let us help you overcome the pattern of life that you've set before you, we want to do that. We want to do that. But if you've come today and you don't know who Jesus is and you're not sure that you've accepted him as your Saviour, it is my heart that I would love to talk to you afterwards. I'm not going to make you run around 10 laps or anything like that or parade in front of people, but I would really love to talk to you about what it means to be saved by the Son of God. I hope that you'll take up that offer. I really do. If you are here today and you follow Jesus wholeheartedly and you love him, yeah, and we're not perfect and we keep going, thank you. Go tell it on the mountain. Come and see, now go tell. We'll see you all tonight. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father and loving Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and what you do in our lives. We thank you, Father, for those who've said yes to Jesus. We thank you for those who are thinking about saying yes to Jesus. And for those who have drifted away, Father, we thank you for their lives also. Father, we know that your Son came for not only Jewish people, but for all humanity. Father, we thank you that you would give us examples of the lengths that people will go to come and see the King of Glory. I pray that our longing and our searching will be equally as we desire to do that equally. That we will leave no stone unturned to love you and adore you. And our search for our to work out our own salvation and our faith and our search to love you, we know that you love us and you care for us. Will you please help us in that pursuit, we pray. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.